and to his sweet wife, Casey, and to the four munchkins. That's what I call George, Jack, and June. Amen. Just a little more. There we go. You got that corrected so quickly. Before go any further, Sister Darlene Grant, you're a jewel. You're an amazing person. And I'm missing the gentle giant, John Grant. He showed you how to fight. He showed you how, when you're dealt a very hard hand of cards, how to get back up again. He showed you that there can be glory in grief. He and she showed you that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. They are beautiful people. And Bishop Grant, I told the fine young man that you raised up and Pastor Roy raised up that you don't have to wear these gentlemen's shoes, but you can walk in the footsteps. And he will do that. So, brother and sister Roy Grant, your house has become the fine dining of Madison, a men's shop where you got me out of a jam one night, and I think I had jeans on. I got everything but your suit, but your slacks. And thank you so much for your kindness. And it's just such a privilege to come back. 2 or 3 years ago, give or take, you probably remember your pastor was sitting right here with his family, and I did not really know him. And I gave a word. I don't know what all it inferred, but I knew that the hand of God was resting upon he and his family. And so the Lord has raised up a generation to go to the next generation. Get on the edge of your seats. Get on your tippy toes. Because Bishop Grant and Pastor Roy Grant have offered them their shoulders. And he will stand stable on those shoulders. And you're going to have great growth. Because that's what the bishop wants. And that's what Pastor Roy wants. And that's what you want. So thank you for letting this kid come back who's been coming here for almost 20 years. Who would have thunk it? I regret, Sister Darlene, not getting Marilyn here. Je t'aime, ma chérie Madeleine, my sweet Marilyn. She is the most amazing person. One time, one service, you're going to know why I'm so I just get back home. She's the love of my life, my brown-haired, brown-eyed gal. Part of the deal is, there's an old saying, make decisions or they'll be made for you. Well, decisions are being made for us because now it's just not Marilyn and I and the girls. We have a son-in-law and 3 grandkids, so there's a lot of birthdays right at this time. It's just hard to fit everything in. We become party station. And George and Jack have learned that the original Morton Steakhouse is Pop's. Man, I can throw down a mean filet. But I want Brother Roy to cook me a filet so good that I'll throw rocks at my own green egg. But anyhow, so they've acquired a taste for some good steak. So it's birthday season. So you understand that, don't you? Because it's Christ and then his family, right? Always the case. If you're a guest today at Calvary Gospel Church, would you raise your hand up? All of our guests, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we have a house full of home folk. So it's about to get rough. I'm going to talk to the home folk. I'm teasing. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 24 down through verse 27. Matthew 17, 24 through verse 27. Amen. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Does your master pay tribute?" And he said, "Yes." And when he was come in the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Does anyone want to answer that? Do the oligarchs, the monarchs, the uber wealthy, do they make you and I pay or their own kids? Okay. Peter said, "Of strangers." And Jesus saith unto him, "Well, are the children free? Are they off the hook?" So there's a bit of a debate going on about this temple tax. But Jesus said, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, Galilee, cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and thee." Would you say my title with me? Fishing and Finances. Lord Jesus, glorify yourself at Calvary Gospel today. We're ready for a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We are ready for the word for 2025 to go forth in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Before you're seated, would you give him a 30-second thunderous round of applause? Praise him in the house. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. Hallelujah. Well, that sounds good. I feel something breaking as you clap your hands unto his mighty name. The Bible says to do that, and if you want to join the clap with the shout unto God with a voice of triumph, we will break something here today. I believe that there are some principalities in this area that are on their deathbed. There's a death rattle in their throat. They are losing their grip. They're putting up a good fight. They're putting up a good front. They're camouflaging their fear, but they truly are afraid. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, God never runs out of an option. You and I are very limited with our options, unless we're uber wealthy. I'm not in that class. And if you are, raise your hand. We're going to have a good offering. There's nothing wrong with having more than one stream of revenue flow into your life. Even if you're in the ministry, there were four rivers that flowed through the Garden of Eden and irrigated that beautiful paradise. But at the same time, we get into situations that we're wondering, okay, how is this going to happen? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part of it, but God can bless you any place, any time, through anybody. It doesn't matter, but I can tell you what, he has more ways to bless you than you're ever going to have needs. Would you give him a hand clap? Then there are times he will do something that is absolutely so unique, and he'll bring a blessing into your life that you're thinking, there's no way I had that one pegged. I never looked at that source. And so we're dealing with the temple tax that's in the Old Testament. Now all of this is going to be done away with the new covenant. Jesus is going to fulfill the law. And he's going to take it another step higher, and you know what I mean. Because grace is not a license to sin. If a man commits adultery, okay, under the law, this would happen. And he said, "I say unto you, if a man looketh on a woman with those desires," okay. But right now, it's still intact. He has to deal with the systems that are in place upon his arrival. And he's going to live a life of impeccable integrity. And in a few years, they're going to find something to try to accuse him of, which is worthy of death. And guess what it's really going to be? Basically, healing the sick on the Sabbath is going to send him to the cross. So they're approaching the temple, and someone says to Simon Peter, "Does your master pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." He spoke for him. And Jesus just took a moment to simply talk about nepotism, elitism, favoritism, partiality. "Do the children of the mighty have to pay this tax, Peter? Or is it the strangers?" He said, "No, it's not their own children. It's we, the middle class and the lower class and so forth." And Jesus said, "Well, let's not offend them. Let's go ahead and pay the 2 drachma apiece, which would be 4 drachma coin for the both of us." Now, you know that Jesus had a secretary treasurer. You got to keep your eye on him. His name is Judas. Well, there was some finances that came into the ministry. I don't think that he had enough for a private jet. But there seems to be something in the way of revenue that was coming in the ministry. So probably they had the money for the tax. But sometimes you don't want to give hard-earned money to a tax, whether it's a temple tax or a tax on groceries or whatever. So I have to remind my family in Canada and my friends in Canada who text me and call me maybe for a prayer, I have to kind of say, "This will not be taxed and there'll be no tariff. But would you please stop bringing that smoke over Madison, Wisconsin? Please, please, please. I can hardly breathe here when I come." Just a little context here. Simon is very much acquainted with fishing. That was his vocation. I mean, the man had a boat, nets. He was serious, a commercial fisherman. And so the Lord could have just, you know, reached maybe, you know, into his own reservoir of coins and taken care of this. Or he could have made a coin, just simply drop it on the terra firma. I've come to tell somebody today, you can't see what God's doing in your life. You cannot right now see what God's doing for your family. But there's something you cannot see that is being put in place for you. And when you get it, it's going to do something for you. It's going to remind you that God is sovereign and he can do whatever, whenever, with whomever. And if a greater need arises, you know the source of all of your blessings. And so, he says to Simon Peter, "Take a hook. Go down to the sea. Cast it into the Sea of Galilee. And the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and there'll be a coin enough to pay the temple tax for you and me, a 4 drachma coin." Now that's a prophecy. Woo. You start talking dates and names and everything in prophecy, you better know what you're talking about. Or you better get out of Dodge before it's supposed to come to pass. Or you better say, "Well, why didn't you obey?" Or, "Well, I mean, and blame it on God." I wonder how many of you are considering the odds of your situation. I'm not going to speak about God's odds. I may have spoken about that last year, which I don't think I did, but that's a whole other message. But I just want to know, is there anyone in here? You want a move of God in your home? You want God to save your family? You want God to heal your body? You have a need. It could be a financial need. But your resources are so limited. And God just might do something that your odds and options can't even compare to. Brothers and sisters, to go down to the sea and cast a hook and catch the first fish and open its mouth, and you find the exact amount that you need. If the man was fishing in a boat, dropping a net, and had one of those nearly net breaking catches that he had with Jesus one day, well, then you could open a lot of mouths. But you're going to go down to the Sea of Galilee. Let's look at it. It's 13 miles long. It's 8 miles wide. At its deepest, it's 141 feet. And the square mileage of the surface is 64. 64 square miles, 13 feet long, 8 feet wide, 141 feet deep. And you're going to go tell me that I can get down there and I'm going to cast that hook and I'm going to take up that fish and open its mouth, and it's going to have in its mouth that exact amount that I need to pay the temple. That's a lot of stuff to have to go through, Almighty God, just to pay the temple tax. Lord, why would you do all of this? Just pay the temple tax. It's not about the temple tax. He's going to let this man know, if you'll just fish, I'll take care of the finances. If you will just go and do what I tell you to do, I'm going to supply your every need. And if I would take the time to do all of this just for the temple tax, when you have a real need, I'm going to tell you what. Some of you have needs that exceed a temple tax. And there's something in the sea for me that I cannot see, but it's there. And it's so. Let's just examine a little further. You want me to go and drop a hook. Well, the first thing I better do is look for a hook, because time is of the essence, because I can't miss my miracle moment. That fish is not going to linger forever. I better stop thinking and start walking. I better dismiss how foolish this sounds and move by faith and just get down there and get the hook. So somewhere he got the hook and he went down. But you better not meander. You better just simply stay focused. And if someone tells you, don't you do that, that's crazy, that can't happen, just keep walking. Because evidently there's a fish coming your way. Okay, there's a horse whisper, but I know there's a fish whisper. I know for sure that God can speak to a fish. I know that. I'm going to get to that here in a second. So you have a fish that's swimming in this direction, but all of a sudden God says, little fish, take that right fin and just kind of, maneuver your little body over this way a little bit. A little bit more, a little bit more. Okay, now just straight in. Just keep on moving. Now, here's the next thing. Okay, did the fish, we're not talking a huge, huge salmon from New Brunswick, Canada. We're not talking a halibut from Homer, Alaska. This fish, did it pick up that coin? It probably did not know, oh, wow, the fish does not have the capacity in whatever brain they have to say, that's a 4-drachma coin. But there's someone that does. And all the fish has to do is not argue. Don't let your fish act in better faith than you act. Because the fish doesn't possess the mental capacity that you do, because you're going to start doing all the numbers. That's impossible. It's 8 feet wide. It's 13 feet long. It's 141 feet deep, 64 square miles. It's the first fish. You see, that's going to mess you up. If you're not careful, you're going to mess things up by trying to calculate the miracle. And God is saying, why don't you just trust me that I can bless you any way that I want to bless you? So, did he just create and drop the money into the fish's little mouth? Or did the fish just go by and scoop it up and didn't swallow it? And it swam with it in its mouth. And somehow it had the wherewithal to hold the fish, the money in its mouth, and then bite a hook. I don't understand it. Any God that could do that is the type of a God who gets speak and create a universe. With his spoken word, he could create 2 trillion galaxies and govern them on a daily basis. He could speak and create 200 billion trillion stars and then number and name every one of them. He would know every, come on, give him some praise. He would have the capacity to know every thought that passes through your mind. He has the capacity to number every hair on the top of your head. He knows when you go out. He knows when you come in. When you sit, when you rise, he knows it. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he can command, listen, read your Bible. He can exploit a simple snowflake to perform his will. And the wind and the thunder and all of that, the windstorm is but dust under his feet. This God can do absolutely anything. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a man on a boat who's running from the will of God. And there's a storm that has encircled that boat. It looks like it could capsize, but the man said, throw me in. And they tossed Jonah in. But God was already ahead of Jonah. Before he ever said, throw me in because I'm the bad hombre here, God was already working. Somewhere there was a big old whale. And God says, hey, whale, get that rear fin. Come on now. Now start making your way, because speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. And at that very second that man plunged in, the whale just. When did Jonah pray to God to get out of that situation? The third day, ladies and gentlemen, within 3 seconds, I would have said, oh God, get me out of the belly of this whale. I don't know why it took Jonah 3 days, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not careful, you're going to get caught up on 64 square miles of surface, 8 feet wide, 13 feet long, 141 feet deep, one fish with a coin in its mouth. There's no way God's going to rescue me. Here's another question. Forgive me, I'm not going to be graphic. I'm just going through things here. Why didn't the whale digest him? That would not have been a good exit. But ladies and gentlemen, God is always in control. Hey, whale, leave him be. I'm just going to put your digestive system to sleep. Because he's taken his good old time. This church is led by the Spirit. This is a Holy Ghost church. This is a church that believes in the fivefold ministry. This is a church that believes in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. This is a church where the Word of God is taught every week, week in and week out. You teach the written Word of God, and then you allow the spoken Word of God to go forth. Thank you for opening your door to the fivefold ministry. I've enjoyed every trip I've made here. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? Before your mama pushed you out of her loins, there was a big, burly, gentle giant from Texas whom God called to Madison, Wisconsin. And at that time, they were not inviting him to BOTT, and that's not a mark against him, because BOTT wasn't started just then, I don't think. He was an unnamed gentle giant, and he just came to the, a very unique place in our nation, Madison, Wisconsin. He had a Texas draw. He was Papa Bear, but God used him, and here we are today. His son comes along, and he's a tradesman with plumbing. He's a hardworking man. He works by the sweat of his brow and blisters upon his hands. And all that time, God is saying, all you got to do is do the fishing and I'll take care of the finances. And then there's a young man and his beautiful family sitting on the front bench. And it goes without saying, there's going to be a myriad of thoughts that go through his head. I don't want to let the bishop down. I don't want to let Pastor Roy down. I don't want to let Sister Darlene down. What am I going to do? I'll tell you, all you have to do is just pray and obey. It doesn't make sense. Don't try to figure it out, because God's going to bless you in ways that don't make sense. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? Make it a 30-second one. I want to make myself at home to preach. When Marilyn and I got married, I had taken a little church in Eastern Canada to fill in for a couple of weeks. It turned into 2 years. When I first went there, my entire financial package, everything built in, all the perks and the privileges, all the vacation money, the car money, everything was $75 a week. It didn't seem possible. And then after 2 years, the Lord closed that door. And then we preached here and there and, a little bit everywhere. And then in January of 85, T.W. Barnes says, boy, I want you to come and preach for me in Minden, Louisiana. And so I said, well, I'll pray about it. I went in the prayer and the Lord opened the door for me to go. I think we had about $800 in our net worth. The ticket was about $650. And I purchased the ticket from St. John, New Brunswick, Canada to Shreveport, Louisiana, 40 years ago this past January. And I made this commitment to God, if you will give me a move of your spirit and I don't get a penny in reimbursed for airfare, I will not complain. I just want a move of the spirit. I'm hungry, God. I've got a little baby. I've committed myself to the ministry. I married Marilyn. We're supposed to be working for God. So I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm just going to go down there I'm not going to lay awake at night thinking, I've just spent my whole net worth except for $100 or so. Lord, I'm going to go down by faith. And we had Holy Ghost revival. And then that rock, T.W. Barnes, looked at me and he says, Brother Buster, you're fishing in a pond. God is wanting you to fish in oceans and in seas. He's going to give you a global ministry. He saw something I could not see. It did not make sense, ladies and gentlemen. But 40 years later, we've been around this world more than once. We have seen just an innumerable amount of people healed, set free, saved by the power of the living God. It didn't make sense, but he told me one thing. If you'll do the fishing, I'll take care of the finances. Ladies and gentlemen, God is telling this church, rise up and go. Go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Go all through Madison. Go all through the villages, all through the hamlets, through this beautiful cheese countryside and so forth, and I've got a harvest out there that's going to pack this place out. You have not risen. You have not started your last satellite church. You have not started your last preaching point. Ladies and gentlemen, they're sparkling all over. You're on the brink of a breakthrough in Jesus' name. You'll never figure it out. It's not for you to figure it out. How in the world does a man cast a hook and take up a fish and open his mouth and say, wow, there's the money for the tax. Spot on. 4 drachma. 2 for him and 2 for me. Only God can do that. Only God can bring a man from Texas and do this. Only God can bring this young man here and say, you're going to lead my people, but you will not do it by your own ingenuity, by your acumen or your aptitude. You're going to do it because God is anointing you and God is opening your ears to hear and your eyes to see. I believe the gift of faith is going to come upon you. I believe that the gift of wisdom is going to come upon the two of you, and you will wait upon the Lord. I believe that God is going to speak through the body. I believe that this body is going to get so excited that you're going to say, hallelujah, we've come too far. We have come too far. It's revival in Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap in the house? Would you join me, music team, back on the stage? Join me, please. Would you stand all over the house? Hallelujah. Man, there's something moving in here today. Please entertain his presence. And if you do, you'll loosen me. If you'll do, you'll loosen me. I tell you what, if you will praise him, you don't have to be afraid. You'll never be embarrassed. Jesus does not use his gifts to embarrass anybody. But there's a move here. A word is going forth. Ladies and gentlemen, a word is going forth. And now we're going to dismiss our webcast participants. We're going to come down off the web. I'm going to take some liberty here today. I'm going to give you an in-house word, so we're not going to broadcast anymore. You know me, I make myself at home when I come. Hallelujah. Give me a little mood music, my brother. All that.